Tinkers, today I want to talk about something that I'm calling the founder's prerogative, but you could really call it the founder's paradox. And last week, this was all triggered because I was talking with Greg Glassman, the founder of CrossFit. And, you know, it reminded me that the founder of a company always has options that nobody else does. For example, Greg gave a lot of money to charity. He funded wells and schools in Kenya. I went over there and saw them. He supported education in inner city schools. He raised money for infant swim resource. CrossFit for Hope even ran at a deficit. He put money into that. He grandfathered rates for the original clients and he kept the affiliation prices low. He avoided partnership opportunities that could have made him a lot of money, like selling equipment and supplements. And these are things that only the founder is going to do. A buyer, like a private equity firm, they wouldn't make those choices. Or even if an individual had bought Greg's company, CrossFit, they wouldn't make those choices either, because their prerogative is maximize profit. And Greg's prerogative was build this movement. But here's the paradox. You know, it sounds like, oh, the founder has all these opportunities that nobody else will have. But because nobody will really ever question the founder, they're also free to break stuff. Nobody is ever telling them to stop. So here's some examples of risky behavior. When you get into the tinker phase, you've got a little bit of extra time and a little bit of extra money. And the reason that we want you thinking about the future is because if you don't and you're just focused on your current business all the time, you're going to get bored and you're going to start getting tempted to run dangerous experiments. So while 80% of your attention is still going to be on your gym, especially at first in the tinker phase, 20% needs to be focused up and out and forward into the future so that you're not tempted to just keep breaking stuff or trying experiments in a business that's already working. Tinkers sometimes overhaul their gym model even though it's already working well, or they chase trends to stay quote-unquote competitive even when they're already the biggest or best in town. Or they implement radical pricing changes, or they rebrand their identity when they don't have to, because what they're already doing is working really well. And so their business becomes a test tube. And sometimes it becomes a whole science experiment and they ruin it. The possible responses to the paradox of you've got more opportunity than anybody else in your business, but you've also got, you know, the opportunity to break it, usually manifests in one of three ways. So you get to the tinker phase and it's like, I want to try things, but you're also aware that like what got you here is pretty darn good. And so, you know, you don't want to take big chances with your business, right? Or maybe you've done it two or three times and you're finally like, okay, look, I'm just hurting things. Usually one of three things happens. The founder sells the business. So they say, look, this is better off in somebody else's hands. They should steward it into the future, just doing what worked well for me. Or maybe I want to start over and do it again my way. Or maybe I've got all these sunk costs with staff and processes and branding that I can't unravel, and I'm going to start from scratch. Okay. So the first thing is some tinkers want to sell the business for those reasons. Second is they just ignore the danger. So they might just say, screw it, and carry on recklessly. It's my company. I'll do whatever I want, right? Even if I have to cut off my nose to spite my face, even if I burn it all down. And that shortens the arc of their business. And sometimes they're playing fast and loose with other people's incomes. And the third thing that they do is paralysis. Some people, things are going well. They're not confident in what made them go well. And so they're afraid to touch anything and the business stagnates. Now, that's not common in this group because all of you know what got you here and what you should keep doing. The challenge is always, you know, the pull of novelty, trying to start something new instead of building what you have and doing more of that. It's like, let's try this different thing. So here's my recommendation. There really is no solution to the founder's paradox, but there is a mindset to adopt. As you grow in your business and you get better as an entrepreneur, you'll see that there are fewer things that are black and white. In the growth phase of your gym, we can tell you do exactly this. You know, if you're leg is good, your arm is good, you've got 150 clients, you can make this much money per year. But in the tinker phase, things become more shades of gray. And so the way that you deal with that is that you learn and evolve your mindset so that you become an even better, more evolved entrepreneur. So there, it, you know, adopt that mindset. And some of the other mindsets that you need to adopt are like thinking like an investor, for example, abundance, building careers and opportunities for other people on your platform, partnerships, etc. But what you need to do is threefold. When this is starting to happen to your business, there's three things that you can kind of think about doing instead of, you know, the above, which was sell the business, ignore the danger, or just get paralyzed. So the first thing you need to do is be aware of the risk. If you're already the largest or the best in town, don't chase the ones who are in second place just because they're doing something different. Remember, like, what got you here was good business. And chasing what they're doing is chasing second place. It's going to put you back in second place and let them pass you. So just because they're doing something doesn't mean that you should. The second option is to hire a CEO if necessary. Look, if you really can't keep your fingers out of the machine and you're constantly tweaking things, changing things, moving staff, breaking your gym, breaking your business, you might want to think about hiring a CEO. But look, if you have fewer than five gyms, you probably don't need a CEO. You need maybe a board of advisors that you can trust because you are the CEO. A small business like a gym does not generate the kind of revenue necessary to support a CEO. A CEO should be worth $100,000 to $300,000 a year. If you're barely making $100,000 a year, you're still the CEO. A board of advisors is different, though. What you can do there is talk to other CEOs. Everybody in the Tinker Group is a CEO. Pull three to five people from the Tinker Group and do a monthly advisory call with them. You can definitely do that. Now, here's the key. I need you to know this. Like, a CEO is different from a COO. Again, like, if you don't have five gyms, you don't need a COO. A general manager is like a COO for one gym. A COO is a general manager for scale. If you've got five gyms, that's where you'd hire a COO. But either of them have about the same job. So a COO runs your playbook. A GM runs your playbook in your gym. A GM is not going to grow your gym. They're going to execute on what you've written down. That's it. A COO runs your playbook for your franchise or your chain. So they are not going to grow your franchise or your chain. They are going to run your playbook. A CEO is in charge of growth. And as I said, if you have fewer than five gyms, you are the CEO. You are in charge of growth. That doesn't mean that you have to run the Facebook marketing campaign this month. You can hire somebody to do that. But overall, growth is your responsibility. You should be initiating partnerships. You should be initiating Facebook ad campaigns. You should be initiating the Bring a Friend days and the social media stuff and the content stuff. And you can delegate the actual, like, implementation and typing and execution of those things, but it's you that must initiate, do them, test them until they're good, and then hand them off to somebody else. Even if you hired a CEO right now, you would still be doing some of that work. The third thing that you can do after just being aware of the risks and possibly hiring a CEO is to take a quarter off. If you're burned out, let the machine just run on its own for 90 days. Now, it's going to shrink, and you have to accept that, but it won't go to zero. And if after a quarter you still can't bear the idea of being the one that's growing your gym, then it might be time to start thinking about selling. That doesn't mean that day 91, you're going to put it up for sale. It means that this is when you start seriously thinking about an exit. Here's the key. If you could sell your gym today, but you don't know what you would do tomorrow, and I'm not talking about going to the beach, I'm talking about what you would do tomorrow as an entrepreneur that would fulfill your mission, that would keep you growing, it's not time to sell yet. You're not ready to sell. You're just burned out. So spend more time in the lifestyle breakout on Tinker calls. At this level of gym ownership, the Tinker phase, there are fewer black and white tactics and more paradoxes. As the founder, you have more freedom than anyone else, but with that freedom comes a lot of risk because you could just burn it down. Be aware of it, respect it, surround yourself with good advisors, make yourself a little board of directors with other Tinkers, give yourself some breathing room, and remember, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Thanks for listening. Let me know what you think in the Tinker group.